You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 303 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me are my two amazing co-hosts, Mr. Scott Wright, and this guy who I really can't see, but he is on video, Mr. Kevin Johnson.
So are we supposed, like, okay, we're episode 303. So is this the Denver podcast, because that's the area code in Denver?
Ooh.
Or is this the MOM podcast? Because, well, right?
MC.
Or is this the palindrome podcast? Because we've got all three options, which there are three.
Can't we be all of them?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, which one we want to do.
Yeah, we could be all of them. I don't know. But
this is the first podcast we're recording after it was announced I won, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm not sure it's congratulations. I'm realizing how much work I've actually signed on for. I just got notified I have to take a class on how to be a board member of a nonprofit and like legal ramifications, all this kind of stuff. And I haven't started the class yet. I'm doing it today. But I will tell you that I don't think it's going to be a very exciting class.
We should gamify it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Like, if ClickArmor did this class, it'd be amazing.
I like that.
I found out that I have to learn Robert's Rules of Order.
Ooh, that's exciting.
If you had said to me a month ago, hey, Kevin, have you ever done something under Robert's Rules of Order, right? Like, I would have totally said to you, yeah, of course I have. Like, but then I started thinking about it and I realized, no, I haven't. I've never. Yeah. So I'm learning all these new things. So.
Yeah. Well, for those listening, don't know, have no idea what Kevin is talking about. He was recently elected as a board member for OWASP.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Congratulations.
There was an election and I won one of the four seats that were open. And I will tell you that while I'm very appreciative of everybody who voted for me and I love elections, I love politics, things like that. It will say to me that, say to the world that it did prove to me that what I'm saying about membership is accurate, because out of the 6,369 eligible people to vote, like less than 1,000 voted.
Hmm.
And
wow,
that's sad.
That's really sad. Like,
hey, I'm thrilled people voted. I'm thrilled people decided to elect me, but it shows me that OWASP, it just validated my stance that OWASP is not empowering its own membership. It is not making it clear to people that being a member is worthwhile, being a member is important, being a member is, and that I'm hoping to be able to fix that over the next couple of years.
Good for you.
So I've got 2 years to make my platform a reality or something like
ready,
that.
Ready, set, go.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. So before we get into the stories, I did want to mention, we talked about quishing last week, and boy, has that stirred up a firestorm of people that don't like the word quishing.
I warned you.
I don't like the word
quishing.
I mean,
holy hell. I mean, I was not prepared for, like, so on LinkedIn, there's a thread I'll link that, you know, people are all talking about, not against me personally. I'll get to that in a minute. But people are like, I hate this word. Everybody, please stop using this word. It's the same thing. It just means phishing.
Do you want me to read it on the attention?
You know, well, hold on. But okay. Before we get there. But what was interesting was the people commenting on Twitter were very different than the people commenting on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you know, people were very kind of professional about it and, you know, gave some really good thoughts and opinions. But on Twitter, I had this troll that literally said he said, I know where you live, Tom. I'm going to come after you if you ever use the word quishing again.
Really?
Yes. He threatened me with violence.
Oh.
Did you call the police?
No, okay, I did not.
I'm going to say this, and this is probably inappropriate. I live at 2255 Elderberry Court, Florida. And if you want to threaten violence against Tom, bring it the f*** on. Tom,
I can handle the trolls, right? I don't feed the trolls. I just block them. But yeah, I apparently pissed off somebody so much. And reading through this person's Twitter feed, he does this all the time. So this is not, you know, this is his shtick.
His keyboard warrior, I'm a badass, but let me threaten people. That's not cool.
I just wanted to bring that up of like, really? Seriously? We're going to resort to violence because you hate the word Cushing. Okay, gotcha. But anyway, let's just move on from
that. That's all. Chill a bit.
Now I'm mad.
Like, I know you're mad. I know.
I've had death threats before. I've had legitimate threats before. I've had people threaten violence. Yeah, I piss people off all the time. Tom, you're one of the nicest people I know.
Yeah, well,
if I was going to threaten violence against anybody on this podcast, it would not be you. It would also not be Scott.
I'm just saying. I covered it. I got it.
That's not cool.
Like, that's...
Nah, it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me. I know. It's just a troll, you know. And you know the old adage, never feed the trolls. They'll go away on their own.
I don't pay attention to that adage, and I probably should. Yeah, but...
well... anyway, let's go to our first story of the week, which
by the way, here's the easiest way to fix the Cushing problem. Moist, 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 moist.
Oh, God, stop. Stop. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear that.
See,
no.
My issue with the word Cushing is not the word. My issue is we keep creating these new terms.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest problems that we have is people taking InfoSec seriously, which we'll talk about with, I think, the first story. And as long as we have to make up new words to get more attention, we are undermining our own effort to get people paying attention, right? I've talked to way too many people that are not in security, and one of their biggest complaints is they can never keep up. And when we say things like, well, Cushing is just like phishing, it's like, okay, but that, which is true. But by giving it a new name, we're actually telling people, no, ignore us when we say this is the same thing. It's new, right?
Yeah.
And that we undermine our own efforts.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. So the first story here, the SEC has charged SolarWinds CISO with fraud for misleading investors before the cyber attack. I was about to ask Kevin's opinion, and apparently we're going to get it. So,
of course you're going to get it.
What do you think?
You knew when you picked this article, you were getting an opinion from me.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad the SEC is charging this dude. And here's why. And I've read the threads. I've talked to people. I get the, oh man, this is not fair because the CISO. I have been involved in security in one way or another for over 2 decades. I have been watching this drama about CISOs don't get the authorization or authority, but they get the responsibility and blah, 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 blah. And in this case, I have no insider knowledge.
You don't work for SolarWinds.
That's a pun because, you know, the SEC. But I don't know anything beyond what we're seeing in the charging documents, the case, whatever. The CISO is not being charged because they're the CISO. The CISO is not being charged because the other people in the company did stuff and the CISO wasn't able to fix it. The CISO is being charged because the CISO knew about problems and then lied in documents. This is the same thing as with the Uber.
It is. Yeah. The Joe Sullivan case. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. I could not remember his name.
Joe Sullivan. No.
And when they charged Joe Sullivan, we saw the same hand-wringing, the same, oh, woe is us, we're sad CISOs. Look, I've been an IANS faculty since too damn long. I've been an IANS faculty forever. And Phil Gardner, the CEO of IANS, has often done a keynote where he talks about security wants to eat at the big people table, at the adult table, right? We've been relegated, and with Thanksgiving coming up, right? We've been relegated to the kids table and not had the authority that we needed. And we have been demanding a seat at the big table. Now we have a seat at the big table in many cases. And a seat at the big table means we don't get to spill our cranberry sauce and not get made fun of. We
great analogy. Thanksgiving analogy.
Going with it, right?
Yeah, go for it.
We have to help clean the table up. We have to help wash the dishes. We have to have the serious conversations and ask to be treated like adults. Now, there's another side to this. And I get that side. I've seen a lot of people talk about, well, I'm a CISO and my company, while I'm a C-level executive, doesn't give me the authority of a C-level executive. I was just talking to Alyssa Miller out at the OWASP conference. She pointed out, correctly so, that many CISOs, while they have a C-level title, are not treated as C-level executives and as such are not covered by the C-suite insurance that is there. And that is a reasonable worry.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the second time I'm going to mention the Lawyers Behaving Badly podcast, which I love.
I got to check that out.
Mm-hmm. You really do. It's so much fun. Yes, but let's go with it. This is two attorneys, and I'm blanking on both of their names now. It's two wonderful women that run this podcast, and they talk about all the time. And they talk about something. When you become the general counsel for a company, so you're the head lawyer for a company, it is mandatory that you go into that job with the knowledge and the awareness that at some point that company is going to ask you to potentially ask you to do something that violates your ethics, violates your commission in the bar, whatever that word is. That's not the right word, but right. And you have to know that you took this job ready to quit the job rather than violate your ethics, period. And if you're not willing to quit the job and you're willing to violate your ethics, then you probably shouldn't be an attorney.
Yeah, I think.
And that resonates with me so much as somebody who accepts the CISO position.
Yeah, yeah.
If you accept the CISO position and then you say, but they didn't give me the authority, then you shouldn't keep the CISO position. If you're not willing to say, nope, this is a hill to die on, right?
Yeah.
You either give me the authority to do the stuff I want to do or need to do or know to do. You hired me with this responsibility, but you're not going to give me the authority, but you'll give me the responsibility. I quit. If you're not willing to do that, don't take the job. And if you still take the job and you don't have the authority to do what you want to do, don't whine about it because you have violated your ethics, right? And I'm exaggerating the violating your ethics, right? But it's the same thing. If you take a CISO position that doesn't give you the authority to be the CISO, yet you're going to take the responsibility. And whether you choose it or not, the SEC will ensure you've taken the responsibility. That's on you. And when you whine about the fact that you got charged with something and you didn't have the authority, but you knew you didn't have the authority, I'm going to play a very, very small violin. And I don't play violins very much. I ranted.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's it. If you don't have the authority to do something, get the fuck out.
Yeah. And you can just imagine how this situation unfolds, right? You know, something comes to light and the guy's going, well, do I say something about it and I'm likely to lose my job, or do I play along and see if we can resolve this, right? And, you know,
Scott, you just said it absolutely perfectly, right? That is so good. I'm going to play along. No, the minute you play along, you are indictable. All these people that humored Trump and his random crap about the fake election and the, right, his most recent, I won in all 50 states. Whatever. It's the exact same thing. If you're playing along with a company, SolarWinds, based on what I'm reading, right? Again, not a client, don't have any insider information. But based on what I'm reading, SolarWinds had fundamental problems that they were aware of, and they did not follow any of the industry standard procedures to either accept the risk. And prove me wrong, please. If this is out there, if they knew about these risks and they went through an actual risk assessment and then said, you know what? It's okay that our password is SolarWinds 123, right? We accept that risk and we documented it and we documented when we had to review it. Then I would agree with all the hand wringing about him being sued because he would have followed industry standards. He would have followed the process. We may disagree with the result. We may disagree with the acceptance of the risk. But then at least, like, yeah, you did your job. But in this case, what we're hearing is it became a joke. they laughed about it. And it's not, and I've seen people, well, he's getting charged because he made jokes. Don't make jokes. I saw somebody yesterday and I refrained from responding, which doesn't happen very often. But I saw somebody post yesterday, well, the immediate reaction to this case is to know that as a CISO, you should never make jokes. No, you absolutely should make jokes. You know how you call a spider with 10 eyes?
What?
A spider. But, right? It's not a problem with him making jokes. The jokes are just the overt act in proof of the problem.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that you made a joke. It's that you made a joke and then apparently did nothing to fix the issue. Yeah. While, oh, by the way, profiting from the stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that last part is the key thing.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add. You've said exactly what my thoughts were too. So thank you. Thank you for that.
This whole thing, I'm getting so irritated with InfoSec influencers that don't actually know how to read English.
Influencers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I know Scott's got some limited time, so I'll jump to our next story. But it's our favorite segment, which we lovingly call Aware Much.
Yes, thanks, Tom. This segment, we're going to talk about a new kind of scam that we haven't mentioned before, I don't think, in this podcast. It focuses on classified ads, and classifieds being anything on sites like Facebook, Marketplace, Craigslist, Amazon. Here in Canada, we have something called Kijiji. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's another classified site. But basically, you know, you're out there, you're shopping around, you buy something online, and then you wait, but no product arrives, and your card gets charged. So you call the seller, and they apologize and ask for your bank details so they can wire you the money back or whatever. And you wait some time. Well, it turns out you've been scammed, and it takes a while to figure out that it's happened. And it turns out that some very smart scammers have created a division of labor, very well organized, with different people playing different roles. And nobody really sees the big picture, and you're just sort of happy doing your job. And it might even look like a legitimate business. But, you know, is this really a pyramid scheme? I wanted to ask you guys, like, what do you guys think?
I think this is just the evolution of, you know, scammers running a very good business, to be honest. I mean, I'm actually impressed that they've gone to this level of having people take, you know, so much money off of the top for, you know, they have customer support. They have people that will help other scammers with like cards not working. It's really like run like a pure on SaaS based business.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scam itself is interesting because, you know, if you read the we'll link the article in the show notes, but like it's really hard to find out if you're being scammed. There's some clues, right? Like if they ask you like, hey, we'll reimburse you, you know, your credit card because you never got the product, but we need your bank account.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So give us your bank account information and exactly. We'll, you know, refund you directly that way. So, and I think there's things like, well, we only use Telegram for communication.
Yeah.
That should be a huge red flag right there.
Yeah.
But I find this really interesting.
Yeah. What do you think, Kevin?
I it's the same. Yeah. This is one of those cases where it proves out the idea that there is an underground economy. Like this is not just, oh, bad people do bad stuff. This is actually an entire effort to make money, profitability, running different infrastructures, dealing with all this stuff. It is mind-blowing how... Yeah.
Will they have someday have an underground SEC, do you think? Like,
yes, they have an underground SEC.
Definitely. Definitely.
Oh, man. Well, some of the tips that you can sort of, as Tom mentioned, you know, if they're asking you to go off the platform to communicate, you know, even by phone or email, you should stay on the platform with people you don't know, just so it can be monitored and logged. And also, any extremely low prices are really just sort of bait to get you because it doesn't cost them anything because they're not going to ship anything. And, you know, other things like scrutinizing the URLs for just clues and signals. And they also use a caller ID that looks like local numbers. And that can kind of throw people a bit and say, well, if it's nearby, nobody's going to be trying to scam me. But it could be thousands of miles away. So anyway, yeah, just a new kinds of scam to watch out for, and it's becoming more sophisticated. So this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor, the first fully interactive security awareness platform that specializes in remediation and role-based training. We can help train staff in how to face scenarios that they'll see in the real world, all within a safe and engaging gamified learning environment. We also sponsor the Cybersecurity Awareness Forum, where we run biweekly panel discussions for security awareness managers and people who are passionate about building strong security culture. So visit ClickArmor at clickarmor.ca to learn about our gamified role-based security awareness training platform and join the CSAF to on our same webpage, clickarmor.ca. You can sign up on our pop-up. So that's it for this installment of Aware Much.
Just in time. Thank you, Scott. So I know you got to run because I know you got a hard stop. We're going to skip the third story today. I know we are having some technical difficulties. We're using a new video audio recording platform. So, but still, I love the conversation about the CISO. I think that's one that's going to continue as we hear more about these types of incidents. So we'll regroup next week with the third topic. And for now, we will talk to everyone again next week. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at sharedsec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.